You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. So Ben and our news team were thinking about the closure of the Haight-Ashbury Music Center and about the work of artisans like Alan Perlman. And we were wondering about the current state of craftsmanship in the Bay Area and beyond. That led us to think of Todd Oppenheimer. He is a longtime San Franciscan who runs the Craftsmanship Initiative. Its mission is to, quote, shine a light on people dedicated to reclaiming craftsmanship's principles of excellence, beauty, and durability as a pathway to a better world, unquote. Todd publishes articles from around the globe in a quarterly online magazine called Craftsmanship. KALW's Ben Trefney spoke with him earlier today.
Your cover story right now is about a town in Mexico that's famous for making guitars. Can you tell me about the town of Paracho?
Yeah, Paracho has been around for a long time, very small town, and it is part of a collection of towns founded by a Spanish bishop in the 1500s. He had the brilliant idea that there should be an organized collection of towns that concentrated on different crafts, from coppersmithing to ceramics to making implements out of the indigenous reeds and plants and various things. And Paracho was either asked to, or I think may have already been somewhat in this direction already, concentrate on string instruments. So that's been their history for a long time. And so the town, just about everybody in the town is employed in one way or another in making primarily guitars, almost exclusively guitars. And they got put on the map a year or more ago when the Disney Pixar film Coco came out, because the white guitar that has become sort of iconic in that movie was made in Paracho.
So writers for your magazine and you yourself travel around the world like that, meeting master craftspeople. I'm wondering if you could give me a couple more examples of some of the extraordinary people that you've met through that work.
Oh, yeah, we've been very lucky. I think probably our best examples are in Italy, particularly Venice. I have an extremely talented writer there named Erla Zwingel, who spent her career writing for National Geographic, and she has brought us incredible stories. One of her most recent on a man named Marino Menegazzo. He is the last true master maker of gold leaf. We've also been in Japan and written about really fascinating, obscure craft of making fishing poles out of bamboo and the masters of that craft. And they sell their poles when they're at their best for, you know, tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it's just amazing. And some of them are very small, because it turns out in Japan, the master fishermen are actually fishing for small fish because they're so hard to catch. So they make these little small poles so you can catch small fish. It's pretty funny.
So, you know, you talk about the cost of those fishing poles as being extremely high. Is craftsmanship generally for sort of a high-end market? Does it kind of necessarily need to be in order for people to be able to make a living out of selling such beautiful creations?
That's a great question. We tangle with it all the time. And there are definitely crafts where that's the case. The fishing poles are a good example of that. And partly as a result of that, in Japan, the fishing pole craft is a good example. A lot of these old masters are kind of giving up. They're not taking on apprentices quite consciously. In Japan, it's extremely difficult to apprentice in that trade. The master's just very discouraged about the prospects of the future of that craft, I think partly because of the quality of the bamboo is declining. But the work in so many of these crafts requires incredible patience and time that young people are not too interested in. But to the heart of your question, the answer is twofold. On one hand, yes, a lot of these crafts are getting so expensive that only the wealthy can afford them. On the other hand, in many cases, the products of artisans, the fishing poles is extreme, but the products of artisans who are at the top of their trade and selling their best are no more expensive and sometimes less expensive than the highest end version that is industrially made. I think a couple of the best examples of that, one we have written about, is leather bags. you know, Gucci and Hermes and any name brand you can think of. If you go to buy a nice leather bag, you know, a woman's bag or a men's wallet or any of those, you know, leather goods by those brands, they're a fortune. They're an absolute fortune. They're perfectly good, but the stitching is not hand done, and there is a virtue to hand stitching aside from the romanticism of it. There's a process that you go through to hand stitch leather that makes it extremely strong and will make it hold up a lot longer than machine stitched. There's a woman in San Francisco we've written about in the Richmond District on Clement Street named Beatrice Amblard, and she teaches classes, and she was trained by Hermes, and she makes bags that are as good as, if not better than, the bags you could buy down in Saks by Hermes for maybe two-thirds the price. So there's an example. Hats are the same way. Stetson and the big names sell their hats for a fortune. You could get a hat custom shaped for your head out of the same materials and perhaps better materials for less. So shoes, similar.
How is that?
The reason is primarily marketing and just, you know, insurance and everything else. I mean, if you run Hermes or Gucci's or any of these name brands, think of the costs you have for employment and for marketing in particular. You know, any big brand name spends a fortune on advertising and marketing. And our culture right now is so permeated by mass production and electronic versions of something, or even if not electronic, very throwaway items. I mean, the whole concept of getting something repaired has almost disappeared, which is horrible for a lot of reasons. It's wasteful financially and it's wasteful resource-wise. And the digital, everybody on their phones and computers that have to get upgraded every 2 years doesn't help. The prevalence of mass-produced stuff, the buying of things off Amazon or wherever else you go for your mass-produced items. I mean, when I bought my wife a guitar, I didn't even think to look at the Haight-Ashbury Music Center. I went to the Guitar Center on Van Ness, got a perfectly good guitar, only to find out later that it at Haight-Ashbury or there's another shop south of Market, I could have bought a much, much better guitar for less that was barely used, you know, and in very good shape. I just didn't even know about it. That's because big brand stores have dominated our consumer culture.
So what would you like to see people do around the concept of, I guess ultimately it's purchasing, but, you know, in this idea about supporting craftsmanship, which obviously you care very deeply about?
I would like to see people return to the notion of buying something that is meant to last, and doing the research required to see if it's built to last. That used to be the concept that guided American industrial health and progress. So part of it is a shift in consciousness that used to exist. When people bought things that were made to last, they kept them for their lifetime, passed them on to their children and grandchildren. We have gotten away from that ethic. But if you do that, if you shop that way, you actually save money by buying the best.
That's Todd Oppenheimer, founder and executive director of the Craftsmanship Initiative. He spoke with KALW's Ben Trefney. You can find Todd's work and that of his writers around the world. We've got a link online at kalw.org. And while you're there, make sure you're subscribed to the Cross Currents newsletter. Get all our interviews, all our stories, and more in your inbox every week.